I'm your host, Sean Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us. Richard Battle joining us now as he does on Wednesdays. Richard, how are you, sir?
John, it's great to be with you, and condolences to you and your family.
Thank you, Richard. I appreciate that very, very much. Let's talk leadership, and I will say that my brother was a great leader and had a great service, so all is good on our end, and appreciate everybody's thoughts and prayers, yours included. But let's talk about effective leadership, because let's face it, that's the legacy we want to leave behind, at least I do.
Yes, sir. And last week we talked about some ineffective things, and next week I'm going to tease you that I want to take even a different approach, because there's so many things we see in our lives and we see in the public today that are affecting us based on people's individual leadership. And I have a closing story that I hope will lift people's spirits. But good leaders, I believe, set examples. They are the best example of people that they want to follow. And they make decisions based on precedent. And we see poor leaders who will make decisions without living their decisions, as we talked about last week. And then they make decisions without thinking of precedent. And then later they are forced mm-hmm. to flip-flop because they weren't visual enough thinking about the previous decisions.
Yeah, they didn't think about the consequences of their decision, not thinking that, hey, you know what, this may not work out, and if it doesn't, then what? Poor leaders don't think that way, Richard.
No, they don't. And good leaders will build credits during good times so that when adversity comes, the people
right.
will follow them because they trust them.
That's right.
In the Navy, they always used to say that if you take care of your men every day, then when the war comes, your men will take care of you and not mm-hmm. prevent harm, but they will follow your leadership into that adversity.
That's right. And we've seen that, you know, numerous times. I really feel right now, Richard, it's part of the issue that we have going on even in the country, or not in the country, especially in the country, with different types of leaders we've got from coast to coast, whether they be, you know, council members, whether they be mayors, whether they be, you know, commissioners, whether they be governors or presidents. We have the same issue going on.
Well, absolutely. And it all the way goes to business or to families. And the same principles apply. And confident and secure leaders will build and grow their people. They will empower them to succeed and help prepare mm-hmm. them for future leadership, because they don't mind other people getting credit for success. And Ronald Reagan used to say, it's amazing what you can do when you don't care who gets the success. And good leaders spread success around and congratulate and celebrate the people beneath them for being successful.
The do as I do, not do as I say, by the way, but which you talked about last week, but the do as I do, in other words, you don't have to say anything. It just automatically happens because they see you doing it. Talk about that.
Well, that's absolutely true, and I've used this example before, but it's so effective, I'm going to use it again, that I didn't realize how much I was an example to my daughter when she was about two or so, when she was first taught to eat popcorn one piece at a time. And I came in from work and grabbed a big fistful of popcorn mm-hmm. and shoved it in my mouth and went the other room to change clothes and came back, and she was eating popcorn the same way.
Right.
So we all are examples, whether we want to be or not. And athletes and actors will say, don't look at us as an example. We don't have a choice. We're all examples based on what we do, not what we say. So we need to be cognizant of that and know that anything we do will be discovered by someone at some point.
For example, I'll give a real quick one for a lot of folks listening. If you're somebody that leads in or manages other people, and you've got the type of a job where you're required to be there X amount during the day, and your people are required to be there X amount during the day, but every day, Richard, you show up 30 minutes late for work, what do you think your people are going to do?
They're going to do the exact same thing. So as the leader, you should be there first and leave last.
Yeah. And by the way, that goes along with everything else you do in that particular position, from the way you handle customers, the way you handle your fellow coworkers, the way you handle leaders that are above you that are actually explaining how to do things, you know, with you. Richard, I can go down the list, and how you as a leader respond to all those things have a great impact upon the people below you.
Well, that's absolutely true, and we have thousands of years of examples to study from, which is another good reason to study from history, as we'll talk about in a minute. And the best leadership, I believe, is follow me, not go ahead of me.
Right.
And it's a pull the people behind you versus pushing them. And when I listened this week to the governor of Minnesota bemoaning potential rioting and everything, I thought, what a weak statement to try to prevent issues. And in that environment where there's potential riots, I think a leader has to set expectations. They have to communicate clearly. Here's what's going to happen if you break the law.
I want to stop you for a second, Richard. For example, if I were the governor of a state and we were potentially going to have issues along those lines, I would have a film crew out and I would be in front of whatever the biggest glass building in that town is, and I would have police lined up around me, and I would be saying something to the effect of, here I stand in front of a building with the most glass in our state. And what I'm going to tell all of you rioters is this: if 1 ounce of glass is broken anywhere in this town, including this building, you're going to have hell to pay because it's going to come directly from me. That's what real leaders do, Richard.
That's absolutely the case. And when you state that, leaders have to prepare to be tested.
That's right.
Because bad guys will...
Yeah, somebody's going to throw a rock. Let's just say that.
Yes, and they have to mean business. So at the first time that happens, they have to crack down and set an example of what's going to happen to people who break the law.
Right.
And they have to enforce the law and protect citizens and property. And I think these leaders that stand by and don't say anything give a wink-wink acceptance for people breaking the law because they are not taking care of their job.
Well, I'll give another example. If we had a real president that was really going to handle things on immigration correctly, he wouldn't be sending the vice president down to the border to handle things. He'd be standing in front of a border wall with a bunch of border patrol around him, sending a message to the rest of the world that we mean business. And if you come here, you're not going to be automatically accepted. And you line it all out, and guess what? Things would get handled rather quickly. But we don't have that kind of leadership, Richard.
No, we don't. And it's even worse than that now that he delegated the authority. But there's been no action. So to me, that's a direct insubordination to his order. And no one's asking him about that. And if he allows insubordination, that telegraphs weak leadership to China, Russia, and all our adversaries.
Sure does. Let's talk about, really what we're talking about right now, as well as confident leaders. And let's face it, Richard, there's a lot of poor, confident leaders. So just because you're confident doesn't mean you're going to be a good leader, although I will tell you, Richard, that I don't see too many good leaders that don't have confidence.
Well, that's true. And a lot of times the bad leaders mask insecurity, acting like they're confident.
True.
And they act out of weakness, showing that confidence when they're really not. And they're afraid, and they'll mask it and try to do power plays to mask that lack of confidence.
That's true. Because good leaders, and you said this earlier, good leaders lift others up. They give credit where credit was due, even if they didn't have anything to do with that particular success. And they also take ownership when things go badly. In fact, a good leader will even take ownership over something that went badly when they may not have had anything to do with that failure.
That's absolutely correct, because they have ultimate responsibility. Mm-hmm. And they realize that if they do that, they will give confidence to subordinates that they can do things, make mistakes, and that the leader will take care of them and have their back in that situation.
Really, let's face it, Richard, what good leaders do is they empower others to succeed, and they help them do so. They don't do the opposite by tearing them down and helping them to fail.
That's exactly right. They want people below them to succeed, to prepare for future leadership, as well as to prepare for current activities that continue to help the organization, whatever organization it is, succeed.
I've actually, Richard, in my past, I have let go of certain leaders in my organization inside of management, things along those lines, when I knew that they were more apt to help somebody fail than to help them succeed. I would let those individuals go because they're not helping the organization.
Well, yes, and they are actually hurting an organization, and leaving them there hurts the organization, and it makes the leader above them look worse because they're allowing it. and not taking care of the problem.
Yeah, the other thing I think we have that's a misconception in our country today, Richard, is that somehow confidence is prideful, although there's a lot of individuals that are very confident and yet very humble at the same time. So they are not one and the same, despite what the world will tell you.
That's actually very true, and a good, faith-based servant leader can be confident but realize where the power comes from in their lives and the lives of others.
Talk about handling folks that don't do that, the insubordination part of it, i.e. right now we're talking about, you know, Joe Biden and his VP who's not doing what she's supposed to be doing right now when it comes to immigration.
Well, and that's the question that I ask, and to me it's very weak leadership. And I think back to a very strong leader, George Patton, and he realized the necessity of urgency, and too many times our government leaders don't suffer from failure, so they don't feel urgency to take care of an issue. Well, Patton knew that even though he might suffer large losses, that the faster he could attain an objective, the less losses there'd be in the long run. And so when they were conquering Sicily, he'd get those colonels and tell them, if you don't get across the river in 4 hours, I'll replace you and find somebody that will, because he knew that they needed to move quickly to succeed. And that's the type of leadership. They recognize urgency, and they get the job done, and they make the moves necessary, like you just mentioned, to get that job done.
All right, let's talk about the story that you've got and close us out, the four-letter word that builds character.
Well, this story I put in this book, and today is the 185th anniversary of San Jacinto Day, which won the war for Texas independence in 1836. But what people don't know, and this is one of the greatest examples of servant leadership I know of, was what happened after the fall of the Alamo March 6th, and for those 6 weeks before San Jacinto. And Sam Houston had a very small army. They weren't prepared to attack the Mexican army, but they wanted to. They wanted to avenge the Alamo and later Goliad. Goliad. And so they were running from the Mexican army. Sam Houston had them running from southeast Texas across toward where present-day Houston was. Every day, his officers would demand him, let's attack, let's attack. He deferred them every day. And if he had not built up credits of leadership with that army, they would have mutinied him from his leadership, and they would have turned and attacked the Mexican army, and they would have lost the war for Texas independence, and Texas would have remained part of Mexico. But every day for 6 weeks, he was able to keep them in line and keep them ready to fight, but not mutiny to fight prematurely. And so on April 21st, just outside of what's present-day Houston, the right situation came. A smaller Texas army attacked the Mexican army, and in 18 minutes, the Texas Army lost 9 men. The Mexican Army lost over 600.
Wow.
And the Texas War for Independence was won because of Sam Houston's ability to hold that army together for that length of time in his leadership. And that, to me, is an underreported story, but such a great example of what effective leadership can do.
Guess that's why they named a city after him.
Yes, and many other things.
As I just left there, actually this morning, from I went down the Sam Houston Tollway, was in Houston City itself. You know, there's a lot of, Sam Houston influence on that town, Richard.
Well, he was a terrific leader in Tennessee and Texas, and fell just short of his potential to be president of the United States, which is what he had been groomed for.
All right, Richard, how do folks get your book? It's a great, by the way, Navigating Life's Journey. If you don't have that book, you should get it. How do they get it, Richard?
Well, my website's richardbattle.com. If you go to Amazon, Richard B. Battle, all 7 books in many formats are there.
Awesome. Richard, it's always a joy having you. I appreciate it very much, sir.
John, it's great to be with you, and we say God bless America.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it very much. Let's do this. Roof Max is next. Dave Hart. And as I look out the window right now, yep, still snowing, a little moisture coming down. That won't last long. No, we'll be back into some dry weather. And my roof is in top working order, by the way. So if there's anything that you need when it comes to your roof, have Dave come out, check it, inspect it. And I got a testimonial the other day from somebody where, you know, they talked about Dave being up on the roof, fixing a few things, and even painting the vents and the things on the roof to match and make things look the way they need to. So the roof really, when it was all said and done, looked brand new. That's what Dave does. That's Roof Max. Have him out today to inspect your roof. 303-710-6916.
Save your roof with Roof Max. Avoid a total roof replacement with roof rejuvenation. Dave Hart with Roof Max in South Aurora will spray a revolutionary soy-based product onto your roof that rejuvenates your shingles, meaning they become less brittle and more pliable. So when a hailstorm hits, your shingles have a better chance of bending instead of cracking or denting. Think about a rubber tire versus a piece of glass. Because this unique, all-natural product only soaks into the asphalt, it won't stain your gutters, and it won't change the color of your roof. In fact, it'll brighten up the color and leave it looking like new. You'll save yourself the cost of your insurance deductible, the hassle of making an insurance claim, and avoid the risk of your premiums going up sooner. Plus, you won't have to deal with the time and mess of a total roof replacement. Roof Max in South Aurora will rejuvenate your roof in a couple of hours. Call Dave Hart now at 303-710-6916. That's 303-710-6916.
All right, Affordable Purchase Mortgage, as we talk roofs and things along those lines, you may have some fix-up projects around the house you want to get done. And by the way, a lot of that can be done with the help of Affordable Interest Mortgage. In other words, a refi or a redo of your current mortgage, tap into some of that equity, get some of those things handled. In a lot of cases, it will not change your payment, or it may go down depending upon your current interest rate. You can change the length of the loan and make it shorter, longer, whatever you need to do. And at the end of the day, save you money. That's what Kurt can do. Talk to him today. Get a full mortgage review, 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where our reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, I'll get us back on track here. We've got a special guest joining us in just a few minutes. It'll be a quick segment. We'll do another quick break and come back and talk to James Gottry. He is from the James Dobson Family Institute. We're going to talk a little bit about the NCAA and how they really are caving when it comes to this transgenderism and things along those lines. Prior to that, though, I noticed an article as I was traveling these last couple of days, which I found really interesting. And I think this shows you what happens when we lock things down at all, but then we add to it a year of lockdowns in some cases. This is what the headline read. Tourist hotspots are reopening, but not everyone is thrilled. And if you read through the article, basically what that means is, yeah, some of these tourist hotspots are reopening, but a lot of the natives or people that live there constantly aren't too happy about it, because with more tourism, of course, comes more traffic and people and things along those lines. So these individuals have gotten essentially used to not having those tourists around, which in their case, I guess they like and enjoy. But of course, the folks that make their living and or, you know, the states themselves and the countries themselves where their, you know, their overall revenue comes from tourism, i.e. I'll use Hawaii for an example, because they're in this article as well, along with some other places. But, you know, in Hawaii, about 80% of that state's income revenue comes from tourism, some form of. So, you know, if you don't work in that industry, I guess, great. Tell everybody not to come back. The problem is that industry will affect every other industry over time, and you do away with all the tourists, and eventually you change the entire makeup of an area, and in some cases, you yourself may not be able to stay there or live there, economically speaking, is my point. Be careful what you wish for, I guess, is what I'm ultimately saying when you start talking about it. And some of this, by the way, is true with even some of our own mountain towns that are here. I think some of our mountain towns would have just as soon, and some of the people in those mountain towns would have just as soon not have another tourist show up, not another skier show up. They want everything to themselves. They think it's great. Problem is, that's not self-sustaining, folks. You cannot continue to support the things that have happened there over all these years when you don't have tourism to do so. And even Colorado, I'll look it up here during the break, but we get a pretty good chunk of our revenue every year off of tourism. It comes from hunting and fishing and skiing and mountain climbing and all sorts of things that happen here in Colorado. Tourism is a big deal. And as a state, when we don't have it, it can affect our economy greatly. It will affect our economy greatly. Not can, it will. So every time I read one of these things, I just want to, I don't know, to laugh, cry, or be mad, because these people are utter morons. They have no idea what they're wishing for. Well, actually, I think I knew what they're wishing for. They're wanting the government, you and I as taxpayers, to continue to bail them out of whatever situation they're in so they don't have to do it themselves and have anybody around, like, i.e. tourism, to do so. They want you and I to hand feed them so they don't have to work. That's really what this boils down to. And yeah, I'm talking about some native Hawaiians because they're very much in that camp of what I just said a moment ago. They want the United States of America to feed them and to take care of them, and to help them, yet at the same time want to secede and go back in time and no longer be a part of the United States of America, which, by the way, is never going to happen. If you're a native Hawaiian listening to me right now and you think that's going to happen, it ain't, ever. So, sorry, folks. That's just where it's at. Bruce Simmons is up next. If you want to tap into some of that equity that you're sitting on top of, and as I mentioned earlier, whether that's to get some fix-up things done around the house, or in this case, you just need that money to live on and function on, it can be done. American Liberty Mortgage, they are the specialist when it comes to reverse mortgages. That's Bruce Simmons. He would love to help you with that. And he'll give you all of the real things that happen with a reverse mortgage, not the hearsay. 303-467-7821 or find him at klzradio.com.
A reverse mortgage with Bruce Simmons puts more money in your pocket. One of the common misconceptions Bruce hears about reverse mortgages is that they're too expensive. But here in the Front Range, chances are good your property value will keep going up even after you get the loan, which means your overall equity may actually increase over time instead of shrinking. Plus, you get the benefit of using a portion of your home's value now instead of waiting until you sell the house. Best of all, FHA reverse mortgages are non-recourse loans, which means they're guaranteed by the government. So no matter what happens to the housing market, as long as you keep paying taxes and insurance, you can never lose the house or pass on debt to your heirs beyond the value of the home. A reverse mortgage puts more money in your pocket. Ask Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise. NMLS number 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
All right, Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith wants to help you with your financial future. Right now, if you make an appointment with Al, not even commit to anything, just make an appointment, sit down, talk to him about where you're at with things. Before May 15th, he'll get you a gift card to Fleming's Restaurant. By the way, great restaurant. $50 for a single person, $100 if you're a couple. So call Al today, 303-744-1128, or again, find him on our website, klzradio.com.
Feel good about your retirement with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. You've already done the heavy lifting by setting money aside for retirement all these years. Now you're looking about 10 years ahead and asking, how can I be certain I'll have enough income in retirement? That's where creating a plan becomes vitally important. Al Smith will help you develop a strategy for the money waiting in your 401k or IRA. For the past 16 years, financial advisor Al Smith has specialized in helping his clients make the transition from working to retirement. He will help you make decisions now that will preserve your life savings for the future, like creating a plan to fund a long-term healthcare crisis should that become necessary. You've worked hard for your money. Now let's make sure your money works hard for you. Schedule a free consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial now at klzradio.com/money.
Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, I did look up the data on the Colorado tourism just for us here in this state. This is 2019 numbers, by the way. $23 billion in revenue from tourism. And that industry employs about 175,000 people. So there's 175,000 jobs in tourism in Colorado. So when you hear somebody talk about tourism and the fact that they like it better without all those tourists around, think about some of the figures that I just gave you. James Godfrey joining us now from the James Dobson Family Institute. He's Director of Public Policy. James, welcome to Rush to Reason.
Thanks, John. Glad to be here.
I appreciate you joining us very much. And there's so much to talk about. But right now, there's a lot going on with NCAA. We've watched things that have happened in, you know, South Dakota, other parts of the country as well. I guess first question I have for you, NCAA, by the way, has a lot of power, a lot more than I think most people think. And by the way, I don't agree with that power, but they have a lot. Where do they stand with all of this transgenderism?
Great question. Yeah, so last week, the NCAA Board of Governors basically staked out their position on this issue of biological men competing in women's sports. And it probably won't surprise you and probably won't surprise your listeners to hear that the NCAA's stance was basically one of complete surrender. Jeez. What they have said is that they are only going to hold their championship events moving forward in locations, quote, where hosts can commit to providing an environment that is safe, healthy, and free of discrimination. Now, John, that sounds good, but according to the NCAA, what that means is that biological men should be allowed to take the field in women's sports, even if that means pushing women off the field. And, I mean, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound safe, healthy, and free of discrimination to me.
No, in fact, I think it screams, James, of just the opposite. And I shouldn't say this because that's the wrong thing. I was going to say I can't wait until there's an entire team, whether it be in college or high school or even semi-pros, where the entire team is made up of transgender men playing and acting like women and dominating a particular sport. You know, I say I can't wait, and the only reason I said that was because maybe then some of these eyes will be open to what's really going on. But that's what's going to happen at some point, James, if we continue down this path.
Exactly. I mean, we don't, like I said, we don't want to see it, but that's the natural conclusion, simply because when you think about just biology, there are physical differences, and those differences matter. And on average, men are stronger, taller, and faster. And that's not opinion, that's documented.
No, it's fact. It's
scientific fact.
No, it's why there are certain sports teams, whether they be collegiate or even some of the professional ladies' sports teams, James, that, for example, a really good, solid women's basketball team in the NCAA to practice well, because they can't practice against men their own age, their own size, and in their own divisions, they will go play one of the great high school teams that are out there to get really good competition. And in fact, in a lot of cases, James, those great high school boys teams can play very well with a women collegiate basketball team just because of the differences you're talking about. And that's what I just said is a fact. That is not a hearsay. That's
right.
A fact.
Right. Well, think about think about the NBA and the WNBA. So Elena Deladon, she's been an MVP of the WNBA, fantastic player. She's 6'5", 187 pounds. You know, recently she averaged, 19 points and 8 rebounds. Okay, now she's a small forward. Okay, well, who's a small forward in the NBA? LeBron James. LeBron James is 6'9", 250.
Right.
Is that a fair matchup?
No, not at all. So for her to get good competition outside of the women's league, she's got to go play a really good, solid high school team or a much smaller division college team.
Right. You know what?
And it's got to be a male team, by the way.
Right. Team USA sprinter Allyson Felix. Most world championship medals in history, male or female. Tied with Usain Bolt for the most world championship golds. She's, amazing, amazing athlete. Her lifetime best in the 400 meters is 49.26 seconds. In 2018, 275 high school boys ran faster.
Yeah, yeah, great point. We're just proving the point of what you and I believe. I don't understand why the NCAA has such a hard time understanding this. And frankly, James, I think they do understand it. The problem is, you said it earlier, they're caving to the powers that be, to the, you know, to the far left, because I don't even think folks that are for the feminist movement and so on, for example, James, I don't think they're for all of this. This is really a radical leftist move, and the NCAA is caving to that. And I believe it's a very, very small percentage of the population that even want to see this happen.
Yes. Well, because they recognize that this hurts women.
Right.
I mean, any time that you put a biological male on the field in women athletics, that means you're taking a female off. And anytime you have a biological male on the medal stand in women's athletics, that means you're taking a woman off. That has implications not just for their opportunities on the athletic field, but for their educational
That's
opportunities,
right,
because it deprives them of chances to win scholarships.
That's right.
But now we'll be going to biological males. And this is something that women fought for decades to get equal opportunities in academics in the classroom. So, this is something that so-called progressives should be strongly against, because this
Yes.
is a huge step backwards.
I agree. And while some of the things that the progressive movement, the feminists, did to make things more equal, and by the way, in certain situations, James, it was unfair. They weren't getting treated fairly, whether that be in the job, the marketplace and other places. But we're way past that today. We're not there any longer. Question I have for you is, did they get more than they bargained for? And I'm talking about the feminist movement now. Did they get more than they bargained for because of a lot of things that they have pushed for over the years?
Well, I think what they're experiencing right now really is a distortion of the legislation that they fought for.
Okay.
I mean, I think that, and you look at, it's interesting because true supporters of women are against this nonsense by the NCAA. So, I mean, really, I think you could make a case that someone that is a true feminist should be strongly in opposition to what the NCAA is doing.
And I would agree with that statement, and I would think, well, I've interviewed some, so the majority of them are the ones for sure that I have interviewed, James, definitely are. But, what I'm getting at is, any time we change the structure that God intended for us to have, and I'm not saying the feminist movement did that, but in some cases, James, they did, because even in their world, there are certain things that they asked for that, frankly, I don't think they should have got, because no, men and women are not equal. I'll go one step further, James, and tell you that even though all men should have equal representation under the law, the reality is not all men are equal. I'm sorry, they're just not.
Sure.
I've said that so many times on the show, I'm probably blue in the face, and I think most people probably, some may or may not agree with me, James, but I'll stand on this till I go to the grave. Not everyone is equal. We have different talents, different things we can do, different things that we're valued through even. We are not equal, period.
Right, and yes, and I understand your point now and completely agree. It's funny, when it comes to this, the difference between men and women, I mean, it is not... differences do not mean one is good.
Doesn't mean we're bad.
Our society doesn't work without men. Society doesn't work without women.
Right.
And so we should stop denying the differences and start celebrating the unique.
We should embrace them. Yes, thank you. You said it better than I. We should get to the point where instead of, battling against what God ordained in the first place, men and women and all of the natural things that go along with that, we should be embracing those things. In fact, James, I'm going to go one step further and say we should even be embracing each individual person and the talents that they bring to the table rather than trying to make everybody equal and give everybody a trophy. Because the fact of the matter is, James, everybody's different. We're all unique. Yes, we're equal. We're created equal in God's eyes. We're created equal underneath the Constitution as far as our representation goes. But at the end of the day, James, we're not equal.
Right. And I mean, John, you are going to be absolutely hands down better at certain things that I'm not. I mean, I can't host a radio show like you every day. You might, in contrast, you might not be able to make it through a legal brief without falling asleep.
Shoot, no, I couldn't do it. I couldn't.
Right.
Well, James, I'll go one step further. I interview tons and tons of authors on this show daily. I really do, and I love each and every one of them. But I will tell you right now, if I ever write a book, somebody's going to have to help me do it, because that's not me. I am not good at that, period.
Right. And we should stop saying that everyone is good at the same things. Everyone can do the same things. And let's make everyone equal in every way, which is really what the end goal of this is. I mean, what the NCAA is doing and what kind of the far left is doing here is trying to say there are no distinctions, there are no differences between men and women. You know, social scientists now are saying, well, men and women don't need a mother and a father. They need two adults will do. You believe this, one LGBT advocate even claimed on Twitter that the only thing that women add to parenting is the unnecessary ability to lactate.
Oh, my word.
I mean, you can't dumbest, make that up.
That's the most moronic thing I've ever heard, James.
It absolutely is.
It's total moronic.
And that's why we have schools that are adopting policies that are allowing biological males to shower and change next to biological females in the locker rooms and dressing rooms and shower rooms. It's absurd.
James, tell me whether my thought process here is correct or not, but the way I see this is when we make everyone equal, we then take thought out of the equation whereby we no longer have to think about things. In other words, we don't have to make any decisions any longer because everything's equal, everything's the same. And to me, that is the biggest insult to, you know, to human beings that ever could be, that we cannot think enough for ourselves to make judgment calls on things. Everything has to be equal, everything has to be the same, so we no longer have to think. To me, that is the biggest slap in the face I've ever seen.
I think you're right. I mean, in the name of, quote, equality, we stop making any type of distinction.
Right. And thought, by the way, because if everything's equal, what do I have to think about, James?
Right. Nothing.
I no longer have to think about what's right, what's wrong. I mean, what I'm really getting at now is back to even, which I know you guys focus on a lot, is, you know, the morals and the family side of the fence and so on. If we make everything equal and no longer anybody's thinking about anything, what do we need a creator for? What do we need God for? What do we need prayer for? Why do I need any kind of help outside of just making this decision that everything's the same, everybody's equal? I no longer have to think anymore. I'm just a dumbed down dummy that just operates in life daily.
You said it. I mean, there's no need for objective truth because it's your truth. It's subjective. As long as your truth is consistent with the one absolute truth, which is that everything is equal.
Right. And so, folks, I hope all of you listening really see the direction that I call it the communist left and the direction that they're trying to take us, James, the anti-God communist left where everybody's equal and everybody's the same, which, by the way, is about the farthest thing from the truth that ever could be. And the deception of trying to be, quote unquote, compassionate and make sure that we all are treated equal. This is where we're at, James. And the problem is now no one's going to be treated equal.
That's true, which is interesting because, I mean, and you look at legislation like the Equality Act or whatnot, which is really the public accommodation law to end all laws, but it's just further creating special rights for special groups.
Right. Right. Yeah, I've always been one. I'm a business guy, James, and I've said this all along, even all the way through COVID. I believe in the rights of individual businesses, and no matter what that happens to be, we have enough laws today on the books. And by the way, we have enough social media and other things around to take care of whatever laws don't exist, that even if there was an establishment out there that didn't want to serve blacks or Jews, or they didn't want to serve, you know, Koreans or Asians or white folks, for that matter, James. I mean, I can go down the list. They could pick out any chosen people they want and decide not to serve them. And I'm one that says, fine, let them do so, because the rest of the social media and the outcome of that will take care of itself anyways. But I believe it's every business's right to do what I just said.
Well, that's a very interesting argument. And it is. It's the idea that the market, you know, kind of the free market will take care of things that are not socially acceptable rather than enshrining,
right,
you know, trying to cover every possibility and put that into law.
Yeah. And by the way, that includes now as we get into COVID, whether you want to clean or not, whether you want to have your patrons wear masks or not. I mean, I can go down the list, James. And again, I've always looked at this and I still do today. And I wish we would have done this from the get-go. Let every business do what they feel they need to do to keep their patrons safe. And a patron can either go there or go someplace else. And that's how we should have done it from the get-go. Goes back to this whole, though, we all have to do things equally. And we've even proven through COVID that that doesn't work.
Yeah. I mean, that is certainly not where we're at as a society right now.
Nope. And well, James, and again, goes back to what you guys do at the James Dobson Family Institute on a regular basis. We're not doing it God's way. We're out of order.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
And I encourage listeners, if I may, I mean, to visit drjamesdobson.org, sign up for Dr. Dobson's newsletters, because he is certainly not one to shy away from any of these issues.
Nope. Good stuff. James, I appreciate it on short notice coming on board with us today. I really do appreciate it. You're welcome anytime, sir.
Great. Thanks so much, John.
I really appreciate it. James, thank you. And folks, everything I just said, I really mean. Anytime we try to make things equal and we put this straight line across where everybody is exactly on the same line at the same time at the same place, all we do is screw things up. It was never God's intention for each and every one of us to be equal. If each and every one of us were equal, why didn't everyone lead the children out of Israel? They didn't. Moses did. God chose Moses. Why? I don't know why. He just did. Was he any better than the rest? No. But he was different, and he wasn't equal to the rest of the individuals that he was bringing out of Egypt. Folks, get out of your head that we're all equal. We're not. Every one of you listening has a different talent than I have. I have a different talent than you have. Charlie has different talents than I have. Charlie can sit on the other side of the window here and do the things that he does with that board and all the magical stuff that happens behind the scenes that, frankly, I know nothing about, nor do I want to, and he does wonderful at it. On the same token, let's flip roles. It would be a disastrous show. Charlie running the show on this side would not work, and I running the show on the other side wouldn't work. We each have different talents. It doesn't mean either one of us are better than the other. It just means we have different talents, but we are not equal. Get that out of your head. A good shop is next, by the way. By the way, every car is not equal. Speaking of being equal, every car is different. Every car needs to be fixed differently, taken care of differently. There's a different set of procedures to fix each individual car, and that's what Al and his guys do at A Good Shop. Find them today at agoodshop.us or klzradio.com, or better yet, call 720-541-7697.
You've already been through a collision. Now give yourself the gift of a gorgeous vehicle inside and out. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop Auto Body continue to earn OE certifications for name brands like Subaru, Ford, and many others, so they can get your vehicle back to pre-loss condition with the parts and service recommended by your manufacturer. Now, A Good Shop offers full detailing as an add-on service so your vehicle feels like new. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and ask for a full detailing service, including carpet shampooing for the entire interior or trunk, or upgrade to include a ceramic coating that will keep your paint in shiny new condition. Al and his team want to give every customer the wow factor of a vehicle that feels like new. Mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
John Rush will give you the confidence to grow. Every single one of the businesses coached by John Rush made more money last year, and most of them are either moving into larger facilities or expanding to add new locations, because all of them chose to move forward aggressively rather than letting fear hold them back. John Rush will help you take the emotions out of your decisions, starting with the way you manage your employees. Send him an email now, john@rushtoreason.com.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush. Craig joining us now from Wheat Ridge. Craig, welcome.
Hi, John.
Hey, welcome. How are you doing, sir?
All right. Show's always better when you're running the show.
Well, thank you.
And I'll let you know that.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I had a discussion, and it kind of piggybacks on your conversation with your first guest on what you said. Had police, you know, we're all kind of shaking our heads and wondering how we got into this alternate reality we're in right now, where wrong is right and right is wrong.
Right.
And of course, with the, you know, the ruling on the George Floyd, you know, Derek Chauvin, jury decision. I feel like you were talking about leaders, and had the governor of Minnesota and the mayor of Minneapolis, after the George Floyd incident became public, had they said, okay, we realize that, you know, this is an injustice, but we want the judicial system to take its course. The officer will be have his day in court, but in no way are we going to allow people to riot, destroy businesses, destroy property, and do what they did in Minneapolis. And as a result, I think we've developed a mob mentality in this country.
We have. You're right.
Where judges and possibly even jury members. Now, I'm not saying that was the case in the Derek Chauvin decision. I believe he was wrong in what he did. But you know, we now have a mob mentality where these jurors and judges may be afraid.
Craig,
let me
ask you a quick question though, along those lines. I, by the way, I agree. I think you're right in what you're saying. I didn't see all the evidence, so I didn't sit on the jury, so I can't, you know, I can't say one way or the other what they should have done or not done based upon the evidence that was there. But I will say this: if you're a juror, knowing the backlash you would face if you voted to acquit him, would you have?
No.
Thank you.
Because
there's your answer.
I think, and we've seen it in a lot of other situations where they find out where someone lives. In fact,
right.
The woman who shot the youth, the 20-year-old.
Right.
They found out her address, and they marched on her house.
Right. Yeah, if you think for one second as a juror you wouldn't have the same thing happening, you know, you're all crazy out there, and that's partially why I think some of the by the way, Craig, that's why the verdict didn't take very long.
Right.
These people were like, I went out of this thing as quickly as I can. This guy's guilty, let's move on, because I want to go home and eat dinner and not have my house vandalized or burned to the ground.
So, you know, I had the police, you know, crack down, and I think in a large part we can blame both the governor of Minnesota and the mayor of Minneapolis for what we have as a result in this country right now.
Mm-hmm.
Had they cracked down on those people, said, we're not going to tolerate this, you're all going to jail, the first person that walks out with any merchandise out of that store, breaks the first window, is going to jail, then you've given, and by allowing them to do so, you gave this mob mentality a sense of entitlement, empowerment, to where if they don't agree with something, we're going to come and tear your business down. And how about, you know, George Floyd's family is awarded $27 million.
Yep.
What
outlandish, by the way.
People?
Outlandish.
Yes. And that came from taxpayer money. How do you think the people that own businesses in Minneapolis feel right now, where their businesses were destroyed, their properties weren't defended by the police, and they're out the losers?
Right.
They're not getting any compensation, but George Floyd's family gets $27 million. And I found Nancy Pelosi's little tribute to George Floyd disgusting. There's no other word for it.
Well, Craig, what you're talking about, and this is true with any organization, it's true with life, when you take leadership out of the equation, you end up with mob rule. Doesn't matter whether it's a city, doesn't matter whether it's a country, doesn't matter whether it's a church, doesn't matter whether it's a business. Anytime you take the leader away and you allow the lemmings, if you would, the underlings to rule, this is what happens, Craig, and it's true with any organization. If you allowed, and I'm going to say this straight up, I know I'm an employer, I know I'm a business owner, but I'll say this. If you allow the employees to run the business, Craig, you won't have a business any longer.
Right. Somebody has to be a leader.
Somebody has to take charge. That's right.
Right. And you know, but it's unfortunate that, you know, like right now, we've got, as the judge said in the case, he named the congresswoman from California.
Waters, Maxine.
Maxine Waters. He named her by name. I'm glad he called her out. That, you know, you're supposed to allow the judicial system to do its job without undue influence from legislators or anybody else.
That's right.
And that includes Biden, President Biden.
That's right. I'll leave it with that, Craig. Great, great comments, by the way. I appreciate it very much. Franktown Firearms is our last spot for the day, folks. And, do you need protection? Yes. Do you need to protect yourself against the government? Yes. All of the above? Yes. And get training to boot all at the same time. And do that at Franktown Firearms. You can find them at klzradio.com. Call them directly, 720-770-7777. Plan on a wait to buy a gun, because a background check is going to be at least 4 to 5 days. I doubt if that's changed much. Call, though, and find out. Again, you can find them at klzradio.com.
Find more guns and ammo at lower prices, only at Franktown Firearms. Everyone says they value long-term relationships with their customers, but the team at Franktown Firearms back up their words with actions by keeping their prices fair and their shelves as full as possible. Because they maintain good relationships with their suppliers, the team at Franktown Firearms has developed a reputation for reliability, which allows them to keep their shelves stocked during nationwide shortages. Because they always have new shipments coming in, they haven't had to hike up prices, so you can find guns and ammo at or below MSRP. You will go back again and again to a shooting range and gun store where you feel respected, and the team at Franktown Firearms shows respect through reasonable prices and a consistent supply of guns and ammo. Fill out their contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown for specific pricing. Franktown Firearms, where students become friends.
All right, real quick, just to dovetail onto what Craig said a moment ago, Charlie and I were just mentioning that even the left has come down hard on Nancy Pelosi for her comments about George Floyd sacrificing his life. Number one, he didn't sacrifice his life. Number two, I don't think he wanted to give up his life. Sacrifice means you do it willingly. He didn't give up his life willingly. That just shows you how dumb she is, by the way, everybody listening. No, she's dumb. Yeah, I know she's Speaker of the House. I get that. I understand all that. She's still dumb. I don't care what anybody says. Rocks are smarter than her, by the way, at times. We'll be back. Hour number three is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.